You know, I was reading in Psalms this week, and about the Bible talks about, give me an understanding. And you know what I was thinking as they were singing that song, I understand it. Aren't you glad it's not? I mean, beautiful sound. The words, though, we could understand it. And it means something to us. And I'll tell you what, I about come unglued. I'm not stuck too good together anyhow, but I about come unglued there a little bit. But I'm gonna stick in there this evening. Pray for me. I'm supposed to preach tonight. Oh my! I'm just so thrilled to be in church. Just so thrilled. I told my wife. I said I'm gonna try not to cry too much, but I know I'm going to. And you okay with that though? All right. Somebody might have to go get me some hankies or something, but I'll be all right. But just my heart's so tender about some things, and something I've been thinking about for a long time. I'm not an original man, but my Bible, everything I preach has already been there in the Bible. And I read, I listen to different ones, and I get some blessings out of some sermons I've heard, and God speaks my heart and says, why don't you preach that? And I'm like, but someone else already preached it. But he said they didn't do it at your church. And God gives me something about it, and I can't hold it in. And so this morning I want to speak to you of something very, very dear to my heart. And the title of my message is this, a curse to a blessing. A curse to a blessing. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 23, let's stand for a moment. Deuteronomy 23, a very simple message, but can change your life. You know, God's in the life-changing business, isn't he? Deuteronomy chapter number 23, just two verses, verses 4 and 5. And let's read them together now. You ready? Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Isn't that something? There was a curse, and God turned it into a blessing. What a great God. What a great God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time this morning. It's so good to be around God's people here today. Lord, I think about heaven. We have a little bit of heaven right here on earth when we come to church, and we have the Word of God with us, and your presence is here. And I pray you'll move amongst us today and give us all what we need. I'm sure there's some in this room here right now that this will be something they'll need someday. And there are those of us that we need it right now. So, Father, I pray help us to use it, to share it, apply it in our lives. And if there's somebody here not saved, I pray you save them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible tells us that Balaam was hired to curse God's people. Balaam wasn't a saved man. And that was all right with him to curse God's people. And truth of the matter is, the curse was coming because God's people weren't always doing what was right. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And we don't always do what is right. Sometimes we know what is right, but to do what is right is something else. And oftentimes God's people are not always what they should be, and a lot of times we cause our own problems. You know, have you ever done something and then said this? I shouldn't have done that. I do that a lot of times, right? Remember when you proposed, fellas? And no. But what are the times when, you know, you say, man, why did I do that? And, you know, we cause a lot of problems in our life sometimes by just not doing what we should. Now, we try, but sometimes that just doesn't happen. And then the sad thing is when the problems come because of what we do, we begin to blame everybody. But this is the saddest part about it. We sometimes blame God. God, why did you let this happen? God, why did you do this? You know, somebody's out there, they're driving along, they've been out there drinking, they run into another car, and they go, God, why'd you let me run into that car? Why were you drinking? You walked right into it. We don't ever want to take the blame. We cause a lot of problems ourselves, but there were some problems in Israel, but we find out that the Lord stepped in here when there was a curse given. And the Lord said, I'm going to do something here for you, Israel. Remember, Israel is God's people. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to turn a curse into a blessing for you. It almost sounds impossible. How could a curse be turned into a blessing? How could something, because a curse, we oftentimes we think about, it's something bad. How could it be a blessing? How could something bad be a blessing in our lives? It almost seems impossible. But you see, it wasn't Balaam that brought the blessing. Balaam was bringing the curse. But thank the Lord for God, who had a blessing. He could turn the curse into a blessing. It was the Lord's power that stepped in and turned that curse into a blessing. And I think, the fact of the matter is that all of us from time to time are going to find out there's going to be some problems in our life that we'll call a curse. Why do I have this? Why has this happened in our family? And we look at it and we say, if we're not careful, we can allow the curse to destroy us. And when you stop and think about it, you know who wants to destroy us? Satan does. Satan wants to destroy our lives. And when the curse comes, if we're not careful, we can allow that to destroy us, where the devil says, all right, got them on the sideline. Why, they're giving up, they're throwing up their hands, they're giving up there, and if we're not careful, we will allow the curse to be a curse. You say, preacher, what is a curse? I wrote several things down. A curse can be an affliction. A curse can be a cross to bear. It could be a trial, a bitter problem that we face. And you know what? When it comes down to it, it hits us all. Now, you may right now not be going through and have that seem like that curse. One of these days, something's going to happen in your life, and you're going to think, why? And you could either be destroyed, or you can let God do something and make a blessing out of it. Because a curse could come. A trial could come at any moment. I think about my life. I seemed like I was doing pretty good. I attributed my hurting in my back to old age. I tried to get out of the car, and I'd go, my wife's, you okay? I'd go, yep, I'm just getting older. And then all of a sudden, things changed. Things can change really fast. And I thought, we better listen, because all of us are going to have trials sometimes. We're going to have burdens. I'm not trying to depress you. I'm trying to prepare you. It's not over when there's a curse. It's not over. Now, either we can let the curse become an inscription on our tombstone saying, well, they didn't do too good. Or we can turn the curse into a blessing. Say, preacher, how in the world can we do that? Well, I'll share with you a few things this morning how we can, but I'm sure there's a lot of folks in the world, the lost, I know this, the lost people don't understand it. You tell people what's going on, and they're going, oh, my, it's like the end of the world. Oh, you have the curse of cancer. Yeah. Don't want it. I wish it'd go away. I wish nobody would have it. And I'm like, I grumble sometimes because this is my third cancer. Must be the charm. Third time's a charm. But I look and I think, it's not the end. I'm 70 years old. Well, not yet. April 30th. You want to write it down real quick? But it's not the end. Because God takes something and can make something that I can't understand, and I can't see how he could do it, but I know with all my heart that he can. I want to share with you something I believe. Like I say, lost people won't understand it. They don't get God at all. They just think God's mean. I heard Lester Roloff saying the other day, some people were saying, God's dead. You ever listen to Lester Roloff? Listen to him until he starts on pork and coffee. Turn him off on those things there. listen to him, and he said, you know, the world, they're all saying that God's dead. He said, well, I imagine if I looked where you looked, I would say the same thing. He said, you look at government for God, he's not there. He said, you look at the school system, he's not there. Come to church, you'll find him. You come to know him as your Savior. But back in December, a little before that, I was having some problems with my back. Of course, you all know about that. And went to a chiropractor, figured he'd help me out. So what he was doing was cracking my cracked vertebrae. Really good thing. And I went to try to find some help there. And I got to that place that one Saturday night that I went. I was sitting there. Gary and Nancy, they knew about. I was trying to walk. I had to use a chair and slide a chair to be able to walk. And they found out and went and got me a walker. And I was thankful, but I'm thinking, they think I'm old. He got me a walker. In fact, I got compliments on that, Gary. One of the guys there said, that's the neatest walker, that black one. I'm telling you what, I wanted hubcaps on it and everything. Little streamers on the handlebars, amen. But I couldn't walk. And I remember that one night, Dan and Lori had come up, and I was sitting on the couch, and I went to get up. And when I got up, my legs gave out, and I sat down real bad. I never had such excruciating pain in all my life. And my son-in-law pretty much picked me up, carried me back to the bed. I laid there all that night with my arms straight out, my feet straight out. Don't touch me. Don't let me move, because I just screamed. It hurt so bad. And I came to a place I thought, I'm not going to walk again. I didn't know what was going on. That Sunday morning, December 3rd, I told my wife, we've got to call an ambulance. I can't move. So the ambulance came, they took me, they said, can you walk?
No.
They said, well, we're going to have to fold this bed up. I could just lay down, and so they're folding it up to try to get me out of the bedroom in the hallway, and they got me out and took me over to the animal clinic. You say, I thought you went to Nason. That's what I said. 2.5 days I laid in there. Excruciating pain. The doctor wouldn't let me go into the hospital. I don't understand what's going on. I said, no, he doesn't need to be in the hospital. He needs to go somewhere and get some therapy. And so they started looking around for a place for me to go, and finally found the Morse Cove home had a room. And I thought, well, that's great. My wife would be close by. It wouldn't be far for me. So I went in there, and then they took me into the Alzheimer's unit. And so I was in there. I was the only one that I think I was sane. I don't know, but I felt like I was king in there. And I did have a few ladies that were looking at me. That one woman said, oh, what a lovely man. Went in there, and they sent somebody down to help me. And I laid there, and the lady said, you're going to walk? I said, I don't think I can. And I mean, it's just excruciating pain. And I would move my legs a little bit, finally got me on a walker. And with a walker, you're supposed to stand up straight. And I couldn't. I had to lean over on it. I finally go down about from here down to the wall there and back. And my wife's taking pictures, because it was a big thing that I was able to walk a little bit. But they all thought it must be a sciatic nerve, which was some of the problem. And it kept working, but I wasn't getting better. So the doctor came in. Finally, we tried to get some tests done. And, of course, the insurance companies, you know how crazy that is. And they kind of drug their feet. Finally, I was able to get some kind of scan. I told everybody I'd been in every machine they had at the hospital except for the microwave oven. That night, on a Friday night, I think it was Friday, no, Monday night, my doctor came in and he said, there's a tumor on your spine. And he said, it has begun to grow into the vertebrae, and it is split. And he said, it's chiseled its way in. I sat in that chair, and I couldn't hardly walk yet. And I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. I remember I went through all the different tests, all the scans. And I went to is it the oncologist, the cancer doctor? Went to him, and it was one of the darkest days of my life. I walked in there, and the doctor didn't have everything yet. They were trying to say it might be from my prostate cancer. He said, it's not. He said, something's going on in you. He said, I'm concerned there's more cancer in your body. And I said, Doc, does it look good? He stood there, and he just shook his head like this. I looked over at my wife. I said, Doc, do I need to see about getting someone to take my place at the church? He said, you might want to think about it. Again, I'm laying on the table because I can't sit. And we got done talking. It's kind of quiet. It was time for me to go, and the nurse came in to help me up off that bed thing there. And I remember I finally got sat up. She's in my face. She goes, are you okay? I said this. My life just changed. But the amen wasn't what it was about. It was dying. You could tell she was concerned about me, and I was too. And walking out, and Dave, he's down there by the door. He drove us that day, and I remember going out. And he looked up at me, and I said, it's not good. I got in the truck. They had to help me get in the truck again. And my wife's in the back seat rubbing my shoulder. And I didn't know what to say other than this. What a curse. I had no words of hope from the doctor. My wife didn't know what to say. She was devastated too. It just all came upon us all of a sudden. And I went home feeling like I never felt before, with a curse. All those things going through my mind. What's going to happen? I thought about you all, about our church, about my family, about my grandkids. All the things that just kind of go through your mind and torment you. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, we don't know what a day may bring. I thought I'd go in there and the doctor say, you know what, we can just zap this thing and everything will be all right. But that's not what happened. Now later on, as we found out that you know, they feel that it's that we've caught it early. And but here's what I want you to think about. When I said that my life changed, I meant it was because of the curse. Little did I know, there was a blessing that really changed my life. I still have cancer. I still have to take the treatments. But I'm here this morning to tell you this, it's no longer a curse. You may not understand this. It's a blessing. You say, why are you crying? I don't know. Again, you may not understand it. Some of you in this room, you can understand it. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you say, man, there's no way. Let me tell you something. You have God, there is a way. I still have to take the treatments. I go tomorrow for a shot in my stomach. A lady last week had to almost chase me I was in a chair. She comes down there, she pulls my shirt up. She goes, okay, we're going to do the right side. I don't care, just do it. She goes, put that needle in, and what I do, I start sucking my stomach in. I'm not going to push out towards it, amen? I start sucking my stomach in, and she goes, man, I'm just chasing you all over. She knew I'd get to the back of the chair and have to stop. And then give me that shot. I still have to take the pills. I just got my other pills. The FedEx, they fly it into the airport here, and then they bring them over to the house. And I was out there, and a guy brought me my pills, and I said, you brought my poison, didn't you? And he goes, yeah. He said, I'd do it all day long. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 4 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, Amen. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You may say, well, what preacher, what if God doesn't heal that disease? Well, the disease will eventually get me. But it doesn't go to heaven. Cancer-free heaven. Amen? But let me share a few things with you. I hope I didn't make you too sad this morning. I know those are sad things, but that's the past. I still think about it and I cry about it. But now my tears are not sad tears, but happy tears. Let me share with you a few things that has brought me this place where I've come from a curse to a blessing. First thing we got to remember is this: God still loves you. I'm so glad God loves me. I mean, when I stop and I think about myself, why would God love me? How many times I've driven down the road and I said, God, I've failed you so many times. Why would you still love me? But he still does. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee, oh, with an everlasting love. Therefore, the loving kindness have I drawn thee. You see, just because you're facing a curse doesn't mean God does not love you. God allows some things to come in your life. I believe this morning I'm closer to God than I've ever been. I hate to say that. I wish you thought I always was. I thought I was. But I realized, you know what? God still loves me. Sometimes people think, why doesn't God love me? I'm here to say today that God does love you. You may be going through something very difficult, and maybe you don't say it out loud, but inside you say, God, why don't you love me? God, if you love me, why would you let this happen? But God loves us. Nothing changes that. You know, the sad thing is that Satan wants to tell us that God doesn't love us, but understand this, Satan is a liar. Many think because of difficulties they encounter is because God doesn't love them. But most of our difficulties come because we do not obey God. But yet he still loves us. God, I failed you. God says, yes, you have. Well, you must not love me anymore. Oh, yes, I do. Stop and think about it. God loved you before you got saved. Do you think God would stop loving you after you got saved? That's ridiculous. God's love is not based on how good life is going for you. I go into that cancer place. Thank the Lord I don't have to sit there like some folks do for hours. Have it pumped in me. I go in and I look at some of those folks and I see all that they're going through. They sit there for hours and I watch them get up with a smile on their face. God's always good. You see, God's love is based on his character, which it means that he'll love us despite what life has brought against you. You know, I've been around people before that were pretty nasty folks. I'll be honest with you, not want, really want to be around them. But God loves those people just as much as the cleanest person in the world. Never, ever doubt the love of God. You see, it's the love of God that helps keeps us stable mentally. I really think we'd almost lose your mind going through stuff like this if you didn't have God. Doesn't make sense otherwise. But I know every morning when I wake up, he's there. I know that God, he's there all the time. It's God's love that gives us hope that we can make it. How many times I've said to folks, but God's bigger than this cancer. You know what? But Satan wants to take our hope and our confidence away. I don't sleep well at night. I don't know what it is. I think it's the medication. I go to bed about 9, 9:30. I think about it about 6:30. I get tired. I go to bed and I wake up all the time. I'll sleep maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half hour. I think last night I had an hour and a half. That's one of the longest times I've slept. But you know, one of the things that's done, you say, well, how do you handle it? I don't know. I'm awake. I believe God gives me strength, but I think God makes a time for me to spend with him. You know what I found, what it does? It gives me opportunity to pray. You have your Bible, turn to Psalm 121 real quick. I jotted it down. I can't remember what it says, so let's look and see. 121, Psalm 121, look at verse number 3. This is what I think about every night when I wake up. Like I say, I'll wake up 15 minutes, half hour. I look at the clock. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will what? Not slumber. Every time I wake up, he's awake. He's there. So what do I need to realize? If I'm going to have that curse turn into a blessing, I got to realize God still loves me. But secondly, I believe when the curse comes, we must do this. Continue to do right. It's not time to stop. I decided something there when I found out this. I thought, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. My wife says, well, what can you do? I said, be quiet, woman. I can order food. But you know what? We've got to be careful that when troubles come and curses come. I'm tired that it's sad that when troubles come our way, all of a sudden we sit back and say, well, I'm going to stop because I've got this problem. Cancer is a terrible thing, and every situation, every curse that comes in your life is a terrible thing, but it's not time to stop. Satan wants us to stop. Satan wants us to throw in the towel. I believe Satan said, well, you might as well give up. Me asking that doctor. I mean, who is the doctor that I'm supposed to ask? A doctor, you think I ought to find someone else? Don't you think maybe I should have went to God? And I did. We need to continue to do what's right. I think one of the reasons why God stepped in here in our scripture was because at the time Balaam had brought this curse, Israel began to do what was right. Righteous living always brings God's favor and protection. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to face difficulties. But you'll find blessings when you do what is right. Oh, but preacher, you know, I have so many problems. But the worst thing to do is to stop doing what's right, because then you get into more problems. When you say, I'm just going to sit back off, I've got this problem, I've got the disease, I've got this sickness, I've got this heartbreak, I've got this setback in my life, I'm just going to sit back and do nothing at all. You're getting yourself more problems than finding a blessing. Sometimes people say, well, I'll get my life situation turned around and then I'll, no. You wait, you lose. We went home. It didn't take long. I decided the cancer will not stop me. It will not stop me. It slows me down. But like I tell my wife, I'm moving slow, but in my head, I'm running. But the worst thing to do is to stop. You see, when we keep going, and we continue to do it right, we show Satan that the curse is not a weapon he can use against us. You know what? I hate the devil. And I know he's going to try to destroy me, destroy you, but I just understand this, and I'm sure Satan looks and says, hey, you got cancer now. Oh, the doctors say it's not curable, and what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to live every day God gives me to live. And I plan on doing this. I'm going to do what's right, not do what's wrong, not sit back, let everybody else do it. I know there's some things I can't do, but I can do things. Everybody can. It's not time for us to give up. But if we give up, we'll sit in a curse. I'm determined to do everything I can, and even more if God will give me the strength. I've really been trying to do more and more things. The dad came in, WVGV, they needed a spot announcement for their share-a-thon. When I came in here, I got to the computer, and I'd been off of it so long, all my batteries were dead. So I went in my office, and I looked, and my batteries are all gone. I couldn't do it, so I had to go get batteries and finally got it all fixed up. But I'm looking to do more. Yesterday, we were able to go out soul winning. I'm so happy about it. I just want to do more. I can't go to the doors like I did, but I can do something. I am not going to stop, because if I stop, it's a curse. I want it to be a blessing. Thirdly, we must pray. Only God has the power to turn the curse into a blessing. Can't rely on my own power. That's why I say it's not such a curse not being able to sleep at night. Now, don't feel sorry for me. I was up 3 o'clock this morning. I saw it was 2:59. I woke up, and I thought, I'm going to lay in bed till 3 o'clock. And I got up. I started aching after laying so long. You know, if I went to bed at 9 o'clock, that's 6 hours. That's plenty. And I get up, and I go downstairs and get my Bible. One of the things I found, though, is I pray a lot. When I wake up 10 minutes, you know what I'll do? And I have to do it quietly because my wife sleeps next to me. And she's not as spiritual as I am. But I lay in bed and say, thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you for that sleep. I talk to him. You say, what? Don't you talk to God? I'll be honest with you, I've never prayed like I have these last couple months. Again, sorry to say that. But you know how it is. It's when the troubles come, we really pray. Troubles came. I really pray. But the thing is, not just to feel better, but because of the relationship with the Lord. Take time to talk to the Lord. Number 4, I'm almost done. Take the curse and make it a blessing. Don't allow it to be a curse. And help others. You know, one of my biggest desires is that I might encourage you when your curse comes. When someday you look back and say, I remember when preacher went through something. And remember what we're talking about. Because we're all going to have troubles. But we don't have to lay down and give up. God never allows anything in our life that cannot be a tool to help use and help others. I pray, God, help me be a blessing to the people. You all are such a blessing to me. And when I walk in here, Sunday school, many of you say, oh, your color looks good. I'm like, what color am I? I was black yesterday, now today I'm yellow. But you know what? The encouragement I get from you, But I think I see something else too. The encouragement you get by seeing me here. I hope you don't think I'm tooting my own horn. But I think, you know, when I came back, everybody was like, he's back. It encourages. And I want to be an encouragement to you. And what I'm talking about this morning is not something fake. It's more real than I ever thought it could be. I pray for myself. But I pray the Lord help me take this and help others with it. Because we all have the same God, don't we? The thing I want to happen throughout all this, I mean, the Lord's coming again. I mean, I believe with all my heart, I believe that trumpet is about ready to sound. I'm out of here. You know, cancer, stay behind. You're not going there. There's no cancer wards in heaven. You know, no cemeteries. Thank the Lord. But I want to be a blessing to others. I'll be honest with you, sometimes though I still have some moments. Yes, my wife. Sometimes don't feel real good. I have some moments. But they seem to get shorter and shorter. Because I have a lot of time. How good God is. This curse of mine, I can truly say, has become a blessing. When I see what it's done in my life. I know a lot of these things I've said already, but morning when I get up, I walk out of our bedroom upstairs, out to the loft area, and I stand there and I look, and before I don't go down the steps, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for another morning. It may be 1, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. I go down there and turn the light on and get my Bible. Get me some animal crackers and a cup of coffee. I just go to talking to the Lord and reading, and I can't hardly get through a verse. My Bible's just getting underlined all over the place. And I'll sit in that chair and I'll say, Lord, that day the doctor gave me bad news was a curse. And I sit here right in the middle of a blessing. Yeah, the cancer's there. But I'm still here. Tomorrow night, I take my another cancer pill. I'll glow for 3 days. I'll be fine. But I know the Lord's coming again, and until then, I'm just going to let it be a blessing in my life. And I can truly say that. I know you may not understand it. And like I said, sometimes I get down, but very seldom. The song keeps going through my heart. In my mind, I should say. I'm almost done because I'm getting hungry. I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Think about this so much. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Think about it. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Those long nights, sometimes I'm down there and I think about that. My wife's sleeping. Y'all probably sleeping. But he's awake. And we talk. I listen. I brag on him. I read his scripture. I'll be honest with you, I think I'm happier than I've ever been. Because God turns a curse into a blessing. Isn't God good? I know some of you are saying, then why are you crying so much? I just get overwhelmed. The songs anymore just mean so much to me. I say when the group sang here, and every time any of you all sang now, I'm ready to come unglued. I ran across that verse that helped me understand. I read about how that we sing, how we lift up our voices. I just decided, you know what? I don't know how many years I have, but I'm going to give God every bit I have. I do what I can. With the blessing. With the blessing. I hope you get it. If not, someday you will understand. Maybe some of you said, I already knew that. But you heard it again. And it's true. But you know, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're never going to get it. You have no hope. The worst of things will be the best for you if you're not saved. Because the next step is hell, burning forever. Do you know for sure you go to heaven? Do you know for sure? If I pinpointed you and said, give me your testimony. I said, well, man, I grew up in church. Didn't ask you if you grew up in church. When did you get saved? Well, preacher, I got baptized one day. Didn't ask you when you got wet. When did you get saved? I'm a member of a church. Didn't ask you that. Are you saved? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time this morning. Thank you for the people who've listened so intently this morning. Lord, I ask you for strength, and I believe you gave me the strength that I needed. And I think we do also understand tears. Father, I pray that each one in this room knows you as Savior. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed right now, think about it seriously. If you died right now, if something was to happen to you, you may say, well, I'm in good health. How many people have just fell over dead from a heart attack? If you were to die right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? I wonder if there'd be anyone here this morning who said, preacher, I don't know. I don't know, but I'd like to know. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up, anyone this morning? Preacher, I'm not sure of salvation, but I'd like to know it. Christian, this morning you say, I know the Lord's my Savior. Some of you are going through some trials right now. I hope you understand what we've talked about. Somebody right now, I'm sure, is saying, I hope I never go through that. I hope you don't either. But life will have trials. But God's still there. He still loves you. Don't stop doing right. Don't stop praying. Keep doing what you're supposed to. And let him turn it into a blessing. God spoke to your heart this morning. The altar will be open. If you're not sure you're saved, come and let us know. We'll show in the Bible how to be saved. Father, thank you again for this time. Speak to us now in the invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.